upon the mountain, I look across.
Thank you this morning for the privilege, O Lord, that we can gather in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That wonderful name, that beautiful name. The Lord, by your grace, you have granted us this time to worship you in the fellowship one with another, Lord. And we also are thankful, Father, now that we come into thy presence. Lord, that you may rain upon us the early rain, the teaching rain, Lord, and teach us thy word of truth. Oh, that we may understand, O Lord, be obedient to that which you want us to understand and to be obedient to it, to fulfill your will, Father. So, Lord, may we have ears to hear and eyes to see, O Father, and a heart to receive. For thou hast said in thy word, in the book of Revelation, to every church ages out there in all those seven churches, he that have an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit of God says to the church. Father, we commit this time now in the name of Jesus Christ that you bless in the breaking of the word of life. Amen. You may be seated. Now, we are on the book of James. For those who have not a Bible, there are some Bible out there. Brother Eddie, is the Bible, there are some Bible on the table there. You know, we are on the book of James. And as I said, this, and we know it, and you have studied already for the last few chapters, James dealt with not doctrines, but practical Christian living. What Christians should do, and what are the things that Christians obviously should not do. And we know that one of the most, they're all just little topic here and there that James just spoke of. Now, one of the most important things that we know that the book of James talks about faith. Now, we know that faith is not tangible. Faith is something that you cannot handle, that you cannot touch, but you can see only by the action. Like you said, that you believe, then you must do what you say you believe. As the Word of God said, that if you say you believe and you don't follow the Word of God, the instruction of the Word of God, you won't follow and fulfill the will of God, then you are not a believer. It's simple as that. Alright, so now we go over to chapter 3. And we start off with verse 13. That's why we left off last week with verse 9 and to 10. And then we'd like to go over 11, 12 onward. So, we realized also we talk about the tongues. You know, how that in verse 8, but the tongue can no man tame, it is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. And we know that James is talking about bridling the tongue, and tongue is like a, well, like a garden, as I said. A garden where if you love it alone, not doing anything to it, dress it, you find that the garden will grow weeds. Why weeds? Thorns and thistles will spring up. But in the same plot of land of the garden, you can actually make this piece of garden to blossom with vegetable, with fruit, and fruit trees. So a same plot of land can give a result of a beautiful garden, or a result where you'll get nothing but weeds and white thistles and thorns. So the same thing with these tongues of ours. And that's what James was telling us. Don't let this tongue of yours bring forth water that is sweet. Bring forth water that is salty, which cannot be. You use the tongue to bless the Lord. Next moment, you use the tongue to curse somebody. Now, that shouldn't be. Because the tongue, as James said, is one of the smallest members of the human body. Yet, it can set the whole world on fire. It can set your whole body on fire to where you got so fired up and that you will go around killing people and scolding people and cursing people. And this tongue of humankind, or mankind, have caused us a lot of problems. Look at Adolf Hitler. With his tongues, he brought a lot of death upon people in the Second World War. And with that, the Jews, 6 million of them, were killed. And so it was also in the Dark Ages, when the Roman Catholic Church ruled the world. Of course, when we say the known world at that time was out there in Europe, in Asia, northern part of Africa. For 1,000 years, the Roman Catholic ruled the world with death. 68 million people died. Not only just they persecuted those who protest, that's why they're called Protestant, because they do not agree with the Catholic teaching. And so they were put to death. And even they were even killing the gypsy. They were even killing those who are not even Christian or who doesn't even believe in anything. As long as you don't bow down to the Catholic Church, you die. They tortured you to death. Even today in certain countries, in Catholic churches, certain Catholic nation, a lot of things were going on. You know, and still killing is still going on around. And we know the Bible teaches us and tells us that the Antichrist that sits upon that throne to be worshipped is none other than the Pope himself. And we believe this might be the one that is coming, Pope Francis. And you know, a man who has ideology, every one of us have opinion. We all have our opinion. We have our own philosophy. But if you take your tongues and start to, you know, have your idea like the jihadists out there, the extremists out there who start killing the Jews and the Christians, and they want to build a caliphate, you know, and bring it back to the world, and they want to bring back the Sharia law, that everybody must follow their law of the Quran, you know. And in fact, of course, everybody have their idea even in Islam, the shark and shuni and different all the other kinds. But of course there are those that extremists and what the imam that preached all that nonsense about if you die the mother there you have the 77 virgin or something virgin up there waiting for you and all that lies. So where is truth found? Where is truth found? In what religion can you find truth? You find none. Not even in the Christian religion can you find truth. What does truth lies in? It lies in God's Holy Scripture. And anybody can take the Bible and say, yes, I've got truth. And then they start interpreting and give their own opinion to this and opinion to that. That's all we have. How many thousand of denominations today exist? 45. 30,000, 35,000 or more of denomination groups and sectarians. You know, everybody start having their own opinion. And there's only one Bible word. And God has only one interpretation to this, to His word. That's the reason why we know in the Bible says in the last day before Christ come, the faith, He says, when I, the Son of Man, return, will I find faith? Will I find faith? What kind of faith? Of course, I will say, oh yeah, we have faith. The Methodist said, yeah, we have the faith. The Baptist said, we have the faith. The different groups and denominations, they have the faith. So which faith is Christ talking about? When I return, will I find faith? There's only one which is true. And that's the faith that lies in God's revelation of His word. You see. So this, be careful about this tongue, how you should use it. You know, and that's why, when we continue now, verse 13. Who is a wise man? Chapter 3, verse 13. Who is a wise man and endure with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his work with meekness of wisdom. Here, now, already the one above, the few verses above about the tongue, it's, you know, the envy. We speak all sorts of things, we're envious of others. So now here we are talking about, right here now, who is a wise man? What is a wise man? What do you mean by a wise man? A wise man doesn't mean that you're wise in trying to speak about Confucius philosophy, you know, or some other religious philosophy or wise word saying. No, which wise man is one that has a frame of mind. If you're a wise man, you must have a frame of mind that is right. Wise wisdom, common sense. Proper common sense. And that is basic wisdom. Some people don't even have the proper basic wisdom at all. So who is a wise man? Let him endure with knowledge among you. So let him, if a person says he's wise, then let him show out of a good conversation. Conversation means his life, how he lives his life. Okay? His work with meekness of wisdom, with what he know and understand. Let him show it. Verse 40, but if you have bitter envy and strife in your heart, don't glory and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descended not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. Now, we read last week, but let us go and read it again quickly. Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. The book after 2 Corinthians. Galatians chapter 1 verse 13 to 14. Now this is what Paul said. You see, for you have heard of my conversation, that is my way of life, how I act, in time past, in the Jews' religion. Now he called it Jews' religion. Okay, Jews' religion is Judaism. You understand? Okay, now I don't have a religion. I don't have a religion. I have a faith. If you put religion, you are putting a tradition. And in the Bible, God said tradition is darkness. There's no light, no truth there. It's just something that you follow. That's what the Jews have been doing all these years. With all the ritual, they are doing it and not recognizing Christ as the Savior. And even in the day of Jesus Christ, that which was instituted in the days of Moses, by the time he came to Christ, all that which God had put for them, they have twisted it. They have made it into some in different form. That's why Jesus rebuked the Pharisees. You make the word of God not effect by your tradition. So many people have taken the Bible and given their own interpretation according to their understanding, and they are walking in darkness because it's their tradition. And the Bible says, in God there is no tradition. In God there is no light, no darkness, because God is light. In Him is no darkness, no tradition, no man's opinion. Either my way, God says, or not at all. Simple. You see. And so Paul said, look, I was formerly in the Jewish religion. How that I, that beyond measure, I persecute the church of God and wasted it and profited. That means I progressed in the Jewish religion above many. My peer, those that was in my same category, those who are in my level of understanding, I'm above them. Huh? Those are my equal. I'm even far better than them. And which truly is, Paul was that kind of a man. And he said that many among my equal in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the tradition of my father. So Paul said, I was so zealous of my Jewish religion. I was so zealous of what of my father, my religious father telling me, teaching me all this. And I went out and killed a Christian. Wasted the church of God. You see, that was what Paul thought. Before he was Paul, he was Saul. He thought he was doing God a good service. He thought that he was fulfilling the word of God. But he was so blind by it because he was moving in the tradition of your religion. Why do you are those of you who are here? Why do we come up from our denomination? Denomination is death. People say, are you sure about it again? Look into the Bible carefully. The Jewish people back in the day before John came along, John the Baptist, before Jesus came along, they were worshipping in the temple, in the synagogue, and the Bible was read. I mean, the Old Testament, of course, they don't have New Testament. The book of Isaiah was read. The book of Malachi was read. So they were reading all those books, but they didn't even understand who Jesus was. When he was there preaching, he said, you are the illegitimate child. We have Abraham as our father. We have Moses. We have all the prophets. Who are you? You illegitimate son of Joseph. Yeah, they called Jesus Christ illegitimate. Huh? Because they had news that Mary was pregnant even before she was married. You know. Say, we don't know you. They began to say things about Jesus Christ. They challenged him. But Jesus said, you know what? Never speak back until sometime later. And we'll come to them why Jesus Christ spoke back to them. You see, people are so sure about their religion because Phariseeism is a big organization. Sadducees is a big organization. You have the Herodians in those days. But today, look at the denominational churches. The Catholic Church is a big church. The Pentecostal Church, they are big churches. The Charismatic too. The Protestant, the Presbyterian, the Methodist, all over the world. God is not in bigness. Remember what the Bible said? Huh? Despise not the day of small things. We are living in a day of small things. That's just why everything is coming small now. They say your computer is getting so small until you can hold it in your hand. This is a day of small things. There are a lot of technology they have discovered with all the tiny little things that they can build. And Jesus Christ said to the disciples, fear not, little flock. Christ don't have a big flock of people. Neither will pass this world and end up in death. But only a people that whom God had already foreknown before the foundation of the world. When He called you, you better answer. You know. And that's the way of God. And now we continue. And let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. After the book of Galatians and Ephesians chapter 2 verse 3 here, it says this, among whom also we all had our own conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desire of the flesh and of the mind, and with my nature the children of wrath even as others. Look, this is what Paul was saying, and that's what James was saying. Every one of us is a sinner. We are all born in sin. None of us are good. We have never come into this world good. So we have the kind of mind, our life in the past is always wrong. It's all this kind of self. Let's go into chapter 4, Ephesians 4, verse 22 to 25. That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. That's what Paul encouraged. Put away your old behavior, your old man, the man that you were when you were born. Because now you're a new man, you put away the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That's how important this mind here. That's how Paul being transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Speak every man truth to his neighbor. Who is your neighbor? You mean the one next door and live next door to you? You call it your neighbor. But neighbor in the Bible means anybody who's around you. Huh? The person who sits next to you in the train, he's your neighbor. You understand? And if you are in the train and here comes an elderly man or an elderly lady who is not able to stand properly, you are sitting there, she's your neighbor, get up and give it to her or him to sit down. Don't say, oh no, it's not my neighbor, it's a stranger to me. The Bible says neighbor means anyone's around you. So let us speak truth one to another. And even among us, we need to speak the truth. Let our yea be yea, let our nay be nay. But sometimes we don't want to tell the truth. Why? What's wrong? Are we afraid to tell the truth? And Jesus Christ told the disciples, are you going away because I told you the truth? Are you offended because I told you the truth? You know, truth hurts. Because the Bible said, thou shalt know the truth. The truth will set you free. You see, even though you have done something wrong, I know that's bad, but if I don't tell you the truth, what then? What then? If I know that you are heading down the river, and the end of which is a waterfall, you're going to over it. And I know that you're paddling the wrong way, do I just watch you and not tell you the truth and let you die? But if I tell you the truth and you scold me, say, you don't know anything, I'm the one who's doing the canoeing, I know what I'm doing. Well, that is your pride. And you go down. You see, truth will offend a person. If you tell a person that's something not to be done, that, you know, if you feel hurt, well, that's that. But it set us free to know, yes, this is the thing I've done, that's wrong. I fail in this. At least now my eyes are open. Let me do what I can now. You know. Some brother and sister in the past told me, said, Brother Gunn, I fail as a father. I said, what can you do now? You cannot undo those things. You know, the only now is that you be wise. Do not treat your children like strangers just because what happened in the past. You know, treat them maturely and understand them. There are things that we have done. None of us can say that we have never made mistakes. None of us can say that we have not sinned against God or sinned against anybody else. We have. You know, the thing is what we do about this life now that we become a Christian, a child of God. So let our yea be yea and let our nay be nay. Alright? Don't be inconsistent. One moment you think about this, one moment, maybe this, and next moment something else. No. Just, Bible says, let your answer always be yea, yea, or nay, nay. When you promise somebody, keep your vow. Keep your promise. Because God takes it very seriously. You know. Because we know, when a person who has a double-minded man, as the Bible James says. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, not some of his ways, all his ways. And a person's life is inconsistent. Like a person says, oh, I want to be a doctor, I want to be a pilot, I want to be a doctor. Next moment, I want to be a pilot. And you know, you might go here and there. Next moment, I say, okay, I finally make up, I want to be a doctor, go and study a doctor. First year in the, doctor, it's kind of hard. Maybe I should go and change and go be a pilot. Now, if your minds are like this, you are inconsistent, it's very unstable. Make up your mind what you want to do and do it. If you want to resign, resign, go to another job, do it. Alright? So now it says over here, in verse 14, you know, the bitterness, envy and strife in the heart. And it's really true when people are comparing themselves to other things. Other person who have other things, things that you don't have, they want it. And they invite the fight for position and so on and so forth. You know, here it says, do not glory. Lie not against the truth. That is to say, do not ignore the truth. If you are in a bad condition in your spiritual life, you are not up to par. Don't ignore it. Don't ignore the truth. Even though that you are sick, alright, you suspect that you may have something inside you, don't ignore it. You know, a lot of people just want to go see a doctor because if I don't know, I don't know. But if I go see a doctor and doctor did this, did that, and say, oh, you got cancer, oh, now you collapse. But if I don't know that I have cancer, I don't go see a doctor, I don't know that I have cancer, then I'm okay. Some people have that kind of mentality, huh? Is it not true? So a lot of people, when you go see a doctor, when you have a problem, you don't want to fire the doctor, give you a bad news after you have a blood test or some other test, right? Sure, we don't want to. You know. But do not ignore the truth as far as Jim is talking about your life. How you live your life. Even as a Christian, alright? Now verse 15, it said, this wisdom do not descend from above. It doesn't come from God. It is earthly. It is sensual. It is devilish. Of course it is what we call the carnal self. The old man. The old man. Our old man before we are Christian. You want to come out and try to control again. So now the question is that whenever you have this kind of thing, the question is not what shall I do? Huh? And the question is, what would Jesus do? In a situation like this, is what would Jesus do? When you come to envy, relationship with others, what would you do? That's what would Jesus do? If you think about what would Jesus do, then I think that is different. You understand what I'm saying? It's good like Brother Jimmy was talking about earlier on, the motorcyclist hit his car and he got a little dent. Sure, you don't want to make a big issue out of the little dent when you know that you're going to hold up a traffic and create a traffic jam. After all, it's a small thing. No problem. Let it go. It's just a car. But I know that some people whose car, just a little dent, he raised hell. Sure, people do that. I remember one time when I came back from work in the hospital when I was there, it was many years ago, riding on a motorcycle in the night, coming home after 9 o'clock. I think by the time I reached almost home, it was 9:30. You know, all of a sudden, you know, the road has a divider, it has a fence separating that road, that side and this side. And it was a two-lane road. And I was riding down. And then suddenly I saw like a shadow pass, run across in front of me. I said, where's the shadow come from? It was actually a young man running across my path, just in front of me, dashed to climb up the fence in the center of the divider. And because of that, I was shocked. You know what? In front of me, there was a taxi that has already parked on the roadside. You know, parked on the roadside because I think his taxi broke down or something. But then I look back, I jump on my brake, I hit him, his car, broke his you know, the what they call the signal light and the stop light. And I went tumble, almost going into a ditch where the workman was digging up to lay pipes. I almost going to, and I would have broke my neck or something. So the moment I fell out, just only a meter before I went to the hole, I got up, and the only thing I think about is, oh my, I have damaged this taxi. You know, so the taxi man came up and said, oh, you know, I'm so sorry, how much do I have to pay you? You know, the man was kind enough to say to me, don't worry, I know what happened. I know somebody ran across and you got shot and then you didn't make it in time. You know. And he was kind enough. He said, no problem about that. And I, you know, called my brother, got a phone call, and back then, of course, you don't have your mobile, things like that. He said, you have, you know, I don't know what he was using at that time, a pager, piece of somebody or something to call. So, no, I can't remember that, but my brother came and helped me. So you see this problem about how that we should lead the life, not always envying, coveting, and protecting ourselves. And let us share the body. Let us care for people. That's one of the sense. Alright, verse 16 now. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. And that is true. Whenever there is strife, in any, whether it's a company, whether it's in the church, when there is strife, there will always be confusion. And every evil work will be present. And this is what happened to many churches. 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruit, without partiality, and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace to them that make peace. From above, that means to say that it comes from God. It's a godly minded person. And of course, when you have this godly mind, you show mercy. You show good fruit. You don't show partiality. Huh? You become there is impartiality when you're showing something to people. Huh? And without hypocrisy. Saying the truth to be as the truth. What did James 4:4 say? Go to James 4:4. James 4:14, sorry. Wherefore, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time. I'm reading, that's not James. John chapter 4, verse 14. Right, when you have wisdom from above, godly minded, touched by the Spirit, verse 14 of John says, but whosoever drinketh of the water which I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him, a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. And so he's a righteous fruit of God. If you have the Spirit of God, you're born again, truly born again. You have a spirit that is right. You want to do that which is right. Remember Abraham and Lot? God called Abraham to come out of Wood Kairi and said, I'm going to give you a place to live. And I'll make you a father of nations and father of many nations. So Abraham went along, Lot, his nephew, came along with him. And not long after that, when they were out there in Canaan land, there were troubles between uncle and nephew's men. Out there in the field, they say, oh, they complain, don't bring your sheep over here. You go away somewhere else. So they fight over the piece of pasture for the sheep. And so there was so much quarreling that Abraham came to know about it, and he talked to the Lord. And he said, Lord, look at all this land out there. North, south, east, and west. You can fight, you can go wherever you want to. Let us not quarrel. You have the first choice. If you go north, I go south. If you go east, I go west. You know, Abraham was such a man. That's why God imputed upon him righteousness. Because Abraham believed God, and God imputed upon him righteousness. When God imputed upon him righteousness, God gave part of his spirit upon him. And you know what happened to Abraham? He was a changed man. He was able to act unselfishly. He was able to give Lot the first choice. He don't think about himself. Neither did he tell Lot, look here, Lot. God come in, come down here, you are just tag along. Why are you bothering me and my people? No. He loved his nephew. You know. So that is a sign of what righteousness is, when a person has received the Spirit of God. So people should stop fussing. Chapter 4. Actually, there is no chapter 4 in the sense of it. As I said, the Bible is just giving you this chapter to break it. But sometimes they break it in the wrong place. So we just can continue from there, as from chapter 3, verse 1, chapter 4, verse 1. From whence cometh wars and fighting among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust, the war in your members. You lust and you have not, you kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not, because you ask not. Kind of a very strong language that James used about war, fighting, killing. And those are words that he used, you know. Killing, really literal, destroying, very destructive. Well, you know, this is what is happening. You know, James is not just talking about, in fact, this is a compounded verse. If you look at it, verse 1 of chapter 4, when comes war and fighting among you, when he said among you, who is he talking to? Remember, he is writing this book to Christians, to the Jewish 12 tribes who have been converted to Christ. So to Christians, he wrote this to Christians. So he said, when the war comes and fighting among you, not among the people outside, among you. Where does it come from? In the church. How come war come into the church? And he says, come then not hence even of your lust. Of your carnal nature, your desire, your lust. The war among the members of the church. And yet on another hand, you look at it as your own body. Do you know that your body, sometimes your body is fighting among itself? Yeah, I know some people. Well, let me ask you. How many of you, when you take a shower, most people take a shower, they hardly take a bath, in the bathtub, right? Most of us take a shower, right? Let me ask you. How many of you, when you take a shower, wash your feet properly? That is to say, you lift up your foot and you wash your toe and massage and clean it. How many of you do it? 1, 2, 3, not many. Some people, no, they don't wash their feet because they don't have the hand. They have the hand is dirty because the hand is above. Here you wash your face. So when you wash your feet, you use this feet to rub this one, rub that one, and rub them, or maybe you take something just rub. Is that not right? So the feet is being mistreated. And you know one thing about your feet? Every day, it carries your body from one place to another. And we mistreat it. Is that not true? Huh. Our hand is free. No glove, nothing. But our shoe, our feet is in the shoe. It gets sweaty. It lives in darkness in the shoe. When the hand is in the light. And we just poor feet, we mistreat it. Huh. Yeah, that is something like that. We can look at it, you know. You lust and have not. You kill and desire to have. You obtain not. You fight a war. You have not because you ask not. You ask not. What do you ask? Why do the church members fight among themselves? Because people doesn't know. The members do not know their position in the body. You must know your position in your body. Because now, if God has not called you, sometimes people say, as James said, you have not because you did not ask. And so the man wanted to hold a certain position. So he's trying to fight for position. This is very common in Africa, huh? They are all trying to seize power. a troubled spirit. I talked to the brother in Africa. I know, I'm in Africa, man. Many times I talked to them, I've seen some of them. They just want to be great preachers. They want to be preachers. And when they are not even called to be preachers, but they want to be preachers. You see. So this is, they never asked the Lord for it. Are they really called to be one? You know, some people don't pray about it. And so they don't pray, they ask not, they don't get it. And even sometimes about what we should have, the thing that you want. Don't ask for things that's not in the will of God. But if you know that this certain thing is not in the will of God, don't pray for it. But if there are certain things that you want that you do not know whether it is in the will of God or not, then you pray for it. You see? And so the same thing is that you ask not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. Huh? You want something which we're not supposed to have. Of course, God will not give it to you because God knows that you consume you. He'll eat you up. That's true. You know, how many great missionary? I have seen some, read some testimony of missionary. People who are rich, they are rich men, they are businessmen, millionaire. They give up everything and set sail to China, to India, to places in Africa. Huh? They give up everything. They give up all the comfort of life and set sail without anything. Just a suitcase, their shirt and their trousers, whatever they need, and they set sail. You see, that's when God called them, go be a missionary. Dr. Livingstone, I think David Livingstone, you know, is one of them. He's a great doctor. Wow, he could have a good life. Well, why do you want to go to Australia? Go to Zambia, Zimbabwe, and, you know, Zambia at that time, yeah. Why do you want to go there? You see? But there are those who only ask God, Lord, make me a big businessman. I want to have a big business. I want this, I want that. So that when I earn big money, I can give big money to you for your mission work. Some people think that God is interested in your money. God is interested, first of all, in your life. Whether you are going to surrender to Him or not at all. Everything else that you give to God without your life surrendered to Him, to God, it is filthy. I want to tell you that. Because you cannot buy God's love. You cannot buy God's salvation. That's for sure. And that's what you read in the book of Matthew, chapter 7. Maybe you want to read it, but you read it. And people don't seem to understand. The verse is so clear. Chapter 7, verse 21 to 23. So simple words. Not everyone that said unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? In your name have cast out devils, and in your name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. A lot of people don't realize this thing. Jesus said, many of you will come to me in the last day. Lord, Lord, I preach in your name. I cast out devil in your name. I do many wonderful work in your name. I brought many to you, Lord. And I give them the gospel. And Jesus said, I never knew you. I never knew you. If you only know what the word means, I never knew you. Like a man who's married to a woman, and the woman never slept with him, and her husband and wife, how could the man say to her that I knew you? I never knew. I don't have spiritual intercourse with you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Why? These people are the only ones interested in making money, using the church, using religion to obtain money. You can go to America and see all those television evangelists, Benny Hinn and many others. You think? Is that the work of God? workers of iniquity. Not telling the truth, not preaching the truth. Preaching only something that they can gain. You know. Alright? Now, verse, you know that in China, because of the one-child policy back in those days, many of the children that grew up are spoiled. Very, very spoiled. They have a name for them, the title for them called Little Emperors. You all know that? They're called Little Emperors and Little Empress. You know. So they are, because they are only child, they were pampered. And I hope, Luke, they are not pampered. You know, they were pampered. So when they are pampered, what do you think? They're spoiled. So they demand this, they demand that, they have such a bad spirit. They demand a lot of things. You know, when I look at this first three verses, this war and fighting and things that are going on in the churches, that's how you have the church split, because everybody have ideas. And you know what? I've been true of this in many preachers. But of course, there's one that happened to my own. A church that I founded in Malacca. And someone, a pastor here in Singapore, fell, you know, through deception, through back doors, to get my address of that church, to get the address of that church. Through a brother, through some believer who asked me, "Oh, I heard that you have a church in Malacca. I would like to go there to fellowship." And that address was given to Judah Howard. And he went up there and destroyed it. Four family. A young church for about a year. Go up there, deceive them, tell them all kinds of story. You know, Jackson is not in the message, Berean is not in the message, they are not preaching the truth, this and that. And took all the container of books and go, say, "I'm going to read them." Did he? He went in his car, somewhere on the roadside, he probably threw it in the dumpster. And to this day, never apologized. He just made me say, "Forget about it, brother, again, it's all in the past." Let me tell you something. If you ever see this video, he better go and repent. Jesus said that you can't come to the altar of God and give your offering to Him when you know that you have a fallen body. You better go and make right with Him before you come. And you know, He told you what you was wrong. Broke up the church, and the church was completely gone. When I went up there to find the brother, he says, "No, we don't believe in it." They're all confused because of this confusion. That's what the Bible says. The envy, that kind of mind, every evil work will come. Why would you want to do that? If you have the truth, is that what the Bible teaches him how to behave? No. All you know is Branham. That's not all about it. So that's not the way. Truth does not lie. But there's a lot of lie in him. Huh. Terrible. Verse 4. "You adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore would be a friend of the world is an enemy of God." What is an adulterer and adulteresses? Now, James is talking to the Christian. "You adulterer and adulteresses." Now, he's not saying that they are physically committing it. That they actually slept with a woman and the woman slept with another man. No, he's not talking about this. You know what adultery is? Huh? You know what an adultery is? Adultery is something that is unclean. Adultery is an act, or the fornication is an act, that a person should not make himself or do not commit something unclean. Now, when a man is single, not married, you go out there to a prostitute or with a girl somewhere out there and commit fornication. That is unclean. You understand? That is unclean. It's the same spirit as one when you use the word adultery. Adultery means it incorporates fornicator. Adulterer incorporates fornicator. Adulterer is a man who is married. All right? But he went to go, he goes to another woman who is not his wife and slept her. That is adultery, making him an adulterer. So what does it mean? What is Jesus? What is John trying to tell us? He knows that friendship with the world is enmity with God. And that's what I'm referring to. Being friendship with the world, you have committed adultery. But it doesn't mean that you cannot have a friend who's in the world, a friend who's not a Christian, whether it's a Hindu, whether it's a Muslim, whatever. It's okay to have a friend with that. There's no problem. You can go out there on a motorcycle, buy a bicycle, things that are there in the world, you can buy it, no problem. But when it's a friendship with the world, is that the thing that you desire, your heart desire, you keep on thinking about those things that you want. By what Jesus said, you cannot serve God and mammon. Right? You cannot serve God and mammon. If the thing that you desire so much that it keeps you away from God, you have committed adultery. Because God doesn't share his wife with another. You are God's wife. We are the bride of Christ. You understand? We are his. And how can we go out there to somebody else? To the spirit of the world. No, it's unclean. No one else seems to say, you are adulterers and adulteresses. You know? It's bad. And so the same thing when we say that we are believers. This word of God is pure. Huh? The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was manifest, made manifest, revealed to us in Jesus Christ. And so we are married to Christ. We are married to the Word. So how can then we take something that is not the Word and believe in it? How can we believe something that is not the Word of God? We can't. You see. Alright, 1 John 2. 1 John chapter 2 verse 15. 1 John chapter 2 verse 15 to 17. Love not the world, nor the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passed away, the lust thereof, and he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So what is the love of the world? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. The three things. These three things incorporate everything that is that a person envy and desire. The thing that a person love in the heart. You know. So if you love the things of the world, the love of God not in you. So friendship with the world is adultery. The love of the world is adultery. Because you're only supposed to have one love. And that is the love of God. You're supposed to love God. Not every other thing, not your church system. Not your own opinion. You see. You know, Israel, what did God let Israel and let them be captive to the Assyrian Empire, to the Babylonian Empire, and let them be there for so many hundred or 200 years, and then let them come down to Israel and then prepare them for the first coming of the Lord, that they may hear the gospel? But yet they rejected the gospel. So finally God had enough of that and then dispersed them in 70 AD. So the Jews were dispersed all over the world. But God always remembered Israel. You see, God loved them, but their love is not to go towards God. So God has to let them go for a while and turn to us Gentiles. You know? God did not divorce Israel. God let her separate from him for a while. And turn to the Gentile to take a bride. Israel, so that we may be grafted in to the commonwealth of Israel. Alright, so now let me ask you, what is the first commandment? What is the first commandment? Alright, let's go. Matthew 22. Matthew 22 and verse 37. This is the first commandment. Huh? Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. But do we? How many of us really said we love God? Oh yeah, a lot of Christians say I love God. You love God? And Jesus said this. Go to John chapter 14. See what he said. He said you love him. John chapter 14. Verse 15. Alright. John chapter 14 verse 15. Remember the first commandment? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind and everything that is in you. If you say him, you love him. See what he said in this next verse. John 14, 15. If you love me, keep my commandment. Verse 23. Same chapter. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man loves me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and will come to him, and make our abode with him. Simple. If you love God, God says, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandment, keep my word. When Jesus said, repent, you repent. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. No need. You see, you don't do that, you get nothing. See, don't think that people think that, well, you know, I'm a Christian. A lot of people are Christian in words, not in action. That's what James is talking about. If you say that you believe, then there must be an action. If you say you believe, you don't do it, then you do not believe. Simple one. Right? If you know you want to cross a river, and there is a plank of wood, because the river is raging water, there's a plank of wood, 2 feet wide, from this side to that side. Huh? And a piece of wood, what kind of look? A little unstable. But a man will show you that this piece of wood is solid. You know, it will not even bounce when you step on it and cross over. You know, and he asks you, do you believe you can cross it? You should be able to cross it. Yeah, I believe it, but it looks flimsy. I believe it, I can cross it, but it looks flimsy, so I wouldn't do it. That means you don't believe in what you're saying. That is the fact. You know what I'm saying? Simple. You see, when you confess something that you believe, Jesus said, when you believe, you say you believe you love me, you keep my word. Otherwise, you are nothing but a liar, a hypocrite. And that's what we see in the world today. You see, the jihadists, they were so indoctrinated by the imam. If you die a martyr death, you kill some Jew, some Christian, or you blow yourself out, you have 77 virgin. I said 70 or 77?
72.
72, alright, virgin in hell. So you know, you see, they do it because they believe in it. But they have believed a lie. And you don't know it. The devil is very smart. You know Adolf Hitler? How did he get the people, his people, to kill 6 million Jews. How did he do it? He himself said, he kept on repeating, he said, if you say the same thing over and over and over again, repeat it countless times, after a while the people believe it is true. That's why I love Hitler. He said, we must liberate the world from this Jewish theft and whatever you call them. And people believe it to be true. The Third Reich will rule the world. They have believed a lie because the devil had him. The devil spoke all this. The same thing the devil did in the Bible. We can see how he operates in Judas Iscariot. How he operated in the Pharisees. Huh? What did the Pharisees say? Crucify him! Crucify him! What Buddha's father said, I find no fault in this man. Let me give you Barabbas. No! With all Barabbas, we want him crucified. This one. You see what I'm saying? Because they have been so indoctrinated, the Pharisees have become so indoctrinated by their religion. But some people say, it's not the religion of Jew from God. It was originally from God, but by the time it has come down, it has become a tradition. That's not what they told Jesus Christ. What do you and your disciple eat without washing your hands? Remember Jesus, you know, well, there's a few plucking the wheat. How can you eat without washing your hands? Where did that come from? Was that in the Bible? No. They took something out of it about cleanliness. They said, therefore, you must always wash your hand before you eat. And Jesus Christ said, what goes in here comes out the other side. That doesn't defile the man. What comes out from here comes from the heart. That defiles the man. You see how the people are just taken up by all this religious thing, being blinded. The denomination church will tell you that it's okay, this okay, that. And you want water baptism by throwing some water on you. Or baptizing baby. Baby doesn't know anything about God. Baptism is a believer's baptism. If you don't believe me, read what the Bible said. When Philip talked to the eunuch, preached to him, and then when he came to a pool of water, the eunuch says, here's a pool of water, I want to be baptized. And Philip asked him, do you believe? He said, I believe. And then Philip says, then you may. Can you ask a child, do you believe? And baptize him, dropping water? And dropping water, pouring water is not baptism. Baptism means immersion, barrier. That's what the word means. You bury with Christ, you die with Christ, and resurrect a new life. So these are the things that Jesus said. You believe me, keep my word. What about all the other things that the Bible teaches us? To keep his word, to keep what he showed us. And we have a Bible district. And I don't know, I can tell you this. 99.9% of the world of Christians today know only a couple of pages. Know a few couple of chapters of the Bible that are favorite to them. The rest of the Bible, they don't want to know. Because they're not interested to know. Jesus is my Savior. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And all that they have. The Bible said the devil also believed. But he's trying. Yeah? Jesus said, if you love me, keep my word. And that is for sure. Mark chapter 3, verse 35. Mark chapter 3, verse 35. Here we have what Jesus said. Jesus true king. For whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and mother. So we said that we are the brother of Christ. Are we not brother and sister of Christ? Yes or no? Yeah, we are. Jesus is our Lord. Okay? Our Master, our Savior. He's also our friend. He's also our brother. You know that, don't you? And he says here that whosoever do the will of my Father is my brother and sister. It's all about the will of God. And we always say, and Jesus taught the disciples how to pray, thy will be done. But people don't do it. Here now, we go next verse. Verse 5. Do you think that the scriptures say in vain, the spirit that dwelt in us lusts to envy? Do you think that the scripture of God saying in vain, that the spirit that dwelt in us lusts to envy? Do you believe that the Bible is not telling you the truth? that the spirit which God gave you lust means that He wants to you to do what God's will is. He wants you to be envious for the word of God. That's what He's going to say. It is the scripture. Does the scripture say in vain, the spirit that dwells in us lusts to envy? Let's go to the book of Galatians 5:17. Galatians 5:17. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to another, so that you cannot do the thing that you would. So when your flesh is lusting against the things of the world, but the spirit in you is lusting against the word of God, again for the word of God. You understand that? This is what the word is, what James is talking about. Whenever you are finding that you are, your spirit is being stirred up, you're always stirred up to go into the wrong direction. Desire for the things of the world, friendship for the world. The Spirit of God in you is fighting. You know what I mean? It's lusting against your desire. No! No! Fighting against it. Yes. You know, I remember what the Bible says about... Okay, let's... Maybe I should just continue and then talk about it. Here we have in verse 22, Galatians 5:22 to verse 26. Galatians 5:22-26. But the spirit, that the fruit of the spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Against such there is no law. No flesh working against it. Okay? But they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with their affection and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, and envying one another. Let us not do that. Simple as that, huh? The Exodus, chapter 20. Huh. I think that we should... Sometimes it is true that spirits they stir up to remembrance. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 5. And this is the verse that we should always remember also. One of the part of the commandment. Chapter 20 verse 5. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, means the idols, nor serve the other gods. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. God is a jealous God. What is jealousy? What is jealousy? There's a young man, okay. He was a young man. When I was young, when I was dating my wife, you know, and if there's any other man trying to cheat her, you know, trying to flirt with my wife, my girlfriend at that time, maybe I engaged, I would be jealous, wouldn't it? Sure. You see, God is a jealous God because you are His wife, you are His bride, and you want to go any other way, do any other thing, but not the spirit of the world is trying to pull you out. He is jealous. I am a jealous God. And He will keep His word and He wants you to be truly His wife. That's how important that really is. Friendship with the world. Demas. Remember Demas? Paul said Demas. Oh, 2 Timothy. Let's go to it. 2 Timothy. Chapter 4. Second Timothy, sorry, right. Second Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. For Demas have forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Damascus. You see, Demas have forsaken me. Paul had many disciples with him, working together with him. Demas was one of them. One day Demas just forsake Paul. He said goodbye to Paul and went out there into the world. What causes Demas to live? Well, if a person don't keep the word of God, that's what easily would be put away. Verse 5 to 6. James now, chapter 4. Back to James chapter 4. Do you think that verse 5 to 6, okay. Do you think that the scripture said in vain, the spirit that dwelt in us lasted to envy, but he gave more grace? Wherefore he said, God resists the proud, but give grace unto the humble. He gave more grace, truly. We all need, you know, we always, you know, this book of Zechariah says, grace, grace, grace. We need more grace from God. But that means to say that God will help us through. But don't make the grace that God gives us a disgrace. Okay? Now let us go to verse 7 and 8. Submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hand. Okay, you stop right there. Because cleanse your hand should be a next verse. But that's why I said the breakage of the words by the translator wasn't so good. So verse 7. Submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and you shall and he will flee from you. Draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh to you. You're carnal, you're a sinner, just come to God. Simple. Just come to God and do his will. That's why he said, therefore. See, when he said, submit yourself, you must therefore come to God. He said, I submit. But you submit to what? So if he said, I submit to God, then you must therefore come to God. How do you come to God? What is the best way? How do we resist the devil? Go on your knees. Go on your knees. If you're not going on knees, how can you resist the devil? That's why when Christians have no time to pray, that's when their strength is going to go. We need prayer time. Verse 8, cleanse, that second part, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Wow. You see that? Double-minded. A person who is double-minded is never stable. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joys to heaviness. So now what James is saying is that when you're going to admit your situation, when you're in a bad shape, don't ignore it. Don't pretend that everything is okay. When you really know that you need the strength of God, go on your knees and pray. Sometimes you know a lot of Christians pray the hypocrisy, and everything's okay, and everything's okay. But when you say all things is well, when you have things, when things are not well, but you believe that all things is well, it's because you believe and you have gone on your knee and asked God for strength. Yeah? You know. You know the man, you know the song about the sea billows roll. What is the title of the song? Oh, it's well, yeah, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. Do you know how the song was written? I think some of you may not know. If I remember that there was this preacher who sent his wife and his children, daughters, I don't know how many, four, to America, and somewhere along there the ship sunk and everything's gone. And yet he said, all is well with my soul. And that's how he wrote that song. Because he knew God. He touched God. God touched him. Even God took the children away. I'm not sure whether his wife was on the boat. His wife was gone too. No. His wife survived, yes. So here he says, all is well. He tells that King David, what he had done was wrong. He says, God forgive me. I may not go to my son. My son may not come to me, but I will go to my son. I will see him. That's what it is. So to those who sin, to those who are double-minded, admit your condition, your situation in life. Okay, don't rejoice just to hide your weakness. No. There's a lot of backslidden Christians. They inside their heart, they know that there's no chance. They pretend, they say, okay, everything is okay. Don't lie to yourself. You have deceived yourself. When you deceive others and you deceive yourself, it's still the same. You know. When you are in a bad situation, you can go to God, go down your knee. So be honest with yourself. Now, verse 11 and 12. Verse 10. Humble yourself in the sight of God and He will lift you up. Which is true. Alright, last two verses, we'll close with the last two verses. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speak evil of his brother, judge his brother. Speak evil of the law. Okay, let me read again. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speak evil of his brother and judge his brother, he speak evil of the law and judge the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art thou not a doer of the law, but a judge. Thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you then that judge another? So what is Jeremiah talking about? Some people don't seem to understand. People say, oh brother, oh sister, don't speak evil of another brother. What is meant by speaking evil of another brother? Then what evil here is, it means is that don't tell lies, don't twist things and talk about one brother, about a brother to another brother. Things that are not true. You're speaking lie, and that is what I mean by speaking evil. For example, Paul said about Demas loved him. Was he speaking evil of Demas? No, that was a fact. When Paul speak about Philetus and Hymenus, what did these two people propagate? They said the resurrection was gone. And because of that, they have destroyed the faith of many. So Paul warned against them. So was Paul speaking evil of them? No. Paul then said, be careful of Alexander the coppersmith. He had done me much wrong. Was Paul speaking evil of Alexander? So we have a lot of people who doesn't know how to look at the Bible. That's why the Bible says, speak the truth in love. What is truth? You know what? If someone come up to you, say, brother, what happened? I heard about these things. And you know what happened. You're not telling him. You say, oh, I don't know. I think you better find out for somebody. I don't know. And it's later on when the brother found out that you actually know. And you just don't tell him the truth. Oh, take for an example, a Christian man who works in what we call investment. What do you call insurance? Investing, huh? Investment. So he comes to you, and that's what happened to one sister in Australia, was very upset. The pastor was doing investment. So present this kind of investment. Oh, very good. This is a good deal. This share is good. You know, your people of Chinese share, you know what I'm talking about. All this. Now, this is good. You bring in money. You get profit. After a year, you get profit. 5%, 3%, whatever. It's very good, very good. But the person, he actually know that it's not so good. But all he wants is to sell this to make money. Is that right? The more that you sell, you get more profit. What's lying? So that's not telling the truth. That's why the sister was very upset. They told me what happened. You see. So speaking the truth in love, it's one thing. Don't speak evil about another brother and sister is another thing altogether. Do you understand what I'm saying? So it just the brother who went up there to Malacca, the pastor went up there to Malacca and told lies to the church about me, about another pastor, and deceitful. And you see what happened? It causes all this evil work and destroy people. That's why they destroy. It destroyed the members of the body. It destroyed people's life. So when you preach the word of God, when you share the truth with people, you better share the truth as real truth, not cover up. Understand? May the Lord bless you. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day that we have, Father. Thank you for that precious word of life. Take the word, Lord, and bring it on further and bless, Father, to the hearing of the word. We commit all this to you in Jesus' name. Amen.